Amen. In your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3, Brother Dewberry told me that one of the reasons he was so reluctant to cancel ABC Kids, he was so excited about his lesson. I could say that today. I had a message all fired up. It did get a little bit damp this morning when I saw some of the weather, but we're glad we can be in God's house and thankful that we have the liberty to be here, but also you're able to get out as well. Pray for some who were providentially hindered, who wanted to come out, but didn't feel it wise to bring their family out. So, thankful that you're here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm just going to read some verses to set the stage for today's message. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We said we have a mediator in Christ. He deals with our past. And an intercessor in Christ. He deals with our present, our prayer life, our representation in the throne room of God. We have an anchor in heaven. He will draw us to heaven for sure. Our future is set and steadfast in the person and finished work of Jesus Christ. We are risen with Christ. We are dead with Christ. We are hidden in Christ. We live in Christ. Someday we will be glorified in Christ. We have new contacts. I chose contacts instead of glasses because it starts with a C. We have new contacts. We see things differently. We actually see things the way they are. Anyone who knows that have a prescription for glasses or contacts, it's not that glasses or contacts are imaginary binoculars or let you see things that aren't really there. It's not a television screen or a movie screen that puts things up there that may or may not be true. Glasses, contacts, and I well know this, they let you see things the way they really are. You see things that you were missing. You see things that you wouldn't see. But so a Christian has new contacts. We have a new prescription for our eyes. You don't have to call it contacts or glasses. You say, well, we just got new eyes. Maybe you had laser surgery. Maybe you had spiritual surgery on your eyes. You see things the way they really are. Christians deal in realities, not fiction. So when you get saved, you get new contacts, new vision. You get new clothes. You get a new suit of clothes. You get a new garment. You get a new outfit. You get new things to wear. And that, of course, precipitates throwing away some old clothes. Every once in a while, you go through the closet and you either give it to Goodwill. I went through my closet the other day, dug deep in the closet, and I realized this is not even good enough for Goodwill. I did find a pair of shoes in there that I gave to Goodwill, mainly because I don't have anybody with feet small enough to wear them. My grandsons are too young for them, and then everybody else I know got bigger feet than I got. So I thought, well, that's a good thing to take to Goodwill. But some of the clothes, I thought, I'd be embarrassed to give these to anybody. They wouldn't want these. They got holes in them. They're torn. And I'm not sure why they're in my closet. Who stuck them in my closet? Oh, that'd be me. I just sometimes hard for me to throw things away because you never know. You just never know. You might need that garment, but apparently not. So we got new clothes. New clothes when you get saved. The robe of righteousness, the Bible says we have. Well, if you've ever felt like I am not worthy to be in God's presence, I'm not worthy to be a child of God, you'd be right, but you now are made, accepted. You've got new clothes. So we have new contacts, new clothes, and a new career. A new career. You got a whole new vocation when you got saved. You say, well, I've got the same job I had before I got saved, or my career is in medicine or education or business or one of the trades, a craftsman. When you get saved, you get a whole new vocation. You have a new calling, a new career. That's what we're going to look at today, a new career. We are new creatures in Christ, being born again, new creatures in Christ. When you get saved, you get a whole new life. And one of the good things, you say, well, I've been saved a long time, so I guess my new life is kind of getting old. No, the new life, the Christian vision, the Christian clothes, the Christian career doesn't age. So no, even if you say, well, I've been saved 40 years, so my robe of righteousness is probably worn out. No, it looks brand new. My Christian contacts, my Christian glasses, my Christian worldview is probably getting a little yellowed and worn out. Nope. Good news. Your Christian glasses, your spiritual clothes, your career never grows old. And by the way, your career, you say, well, I'm probably near retirement. My career as a Christian, no. No retirement as a Christian. You might get promoted to heaven, but you still wouldn't retire as a Christian. You'd still be a Christian, even in heaven. And a lot of your duties in heaven, a lot of your tasks, although I'm sure they'll be much more pleasant to us, will be the same. Praising God, worshiping God, fellowshipping with God's people, exalting God. Our career doesn't end. So they're not only new things, but they're ageless things. Here's our text verse number 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Father, I do pray you would bless me as I read your word, as I preach it, as I hear it again myself. Help all of us to have open Bibles, open minds, and open hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your career. This is your job description. And it's a wonderful job description because it fits every Christian. It fits Christians who are 8 or 80. It fits Christians who are 18. It's not so specific so as to say, well, does God want me to be a Sunday school teacher, or does God want me to be a member of the choir? Does anybody remember what choir is? It's what the children do. Don't forget about that. That's coming back. It's coming back. I feel it. Or does God want me to be a pastor or a missionary? Those are very specific, subcategories. But this job description fits all of us. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you've been born again, here it is. You say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I've got good news. I know what God wants you to do. Not because I'm wise, but just because I can read the Bible. Here is the Christian's job description. What are you going to do with these new glasses? What are you going to do with these new clothes? What is your new career? Right here it is. This is your career. This is your job description. It's very comprehensive. It's actually very simple, too. Whatsoever. Now that means that could be so many different things. And different ages and different abilities and different environments, so many different things you could do. And in the sense of course, good and holy things and right things and things that God would bless, but whatsoever. You say, you mean like I could be a doctor? Well, sure. Could I be a scientist? Could I be a carpenter? Could I be a mechanic? Could I be a teacher? Whatsoever. I mean, young people, whatsoever. In a sense, as long as you're in obedience to God, in the balance of this verse, the options, the career choices, are wide open. Remember in high school, my junior year, I guess, we all had an appointment with the school counselor, and it was a good appointment because they had decided that we all needed some career counseling. We all needed, or just some counseling about the future. Where are you going? What are you going to do? What are you thinking? And they had some tests that they had us take. you know, looking for different skills and abilities or things you like. It wasn't really a difficult test. It was like, how do you like this? You don't like that, and so forth and so on. And then the counselor would meet with us and say, I'm looking at your, they really do look at your permanent record. They look at your school record, your academic record, your activities, what have you been doing, and your test results and temperament, things like that. And she had a catalog of jobs and field choices of careers, just things you never heard of before. And this is an area you might want to look at. And it was fascinating. Now, by that time, I already had a fairly strong sense that where I was going. I had already been called to preach. I was very confident that God wanted me to go to Bible college and prepare for the ministry. But it was interesting to look at the things that you could do. And all of them were honorable things. I mean, they were certainly not counseling people to be bank robbers or bad people. They were all, it's all good stuff. And we need people to do all those things. There wasn't one thing on the list that you think, well, nobody needs to do that. Why, some of them are very important, very specific careers. And so all of that stuff, all of those career counseling, all those vocational counseling would fit right into that one word, whatsoever. Sometimes Christians have this bias, and I'm sure it's from the devil or from the world. It's like, well, one thing, if you're going to be a Christian, mark it down, you're going to be miserable. God's going to make you do something, the last thing you want to do, he's going to make you do something you don't want to do, and so it's just mark it down. And if there's something you really wanted to do, God's going to say, no, absolutely not, that'd make you happy, can't have you doing that. That's not true, by the way. The reason we get out of sorts with our career choices and our vocational choices is not because God insists that we be miserable. If you can hearken back to something I told you last week, when we get crossways with God's purposes and our vocational career choices, the problem is often you. Now, sometimes people can meddle too. So I have to be honest and warn you about this. Sometimes people say, I want you to be this. Sometimes parents can unwisely, I think, say, well, you know, I was a blacksmith. You're going to be a blacksmith. Because it's going to be Pittman and Son blacksmiths. You say, well, there aren't very many of them. Exactly. You know, it's all difficult to say, well, this is the career I had, and I want you to have this. Or to say, well, I want my son to be a doctor. I had a lady actually tell me this. I've heard this, but I had a lady actually tell me this in Tennessee one time. She says, I want one of my boys to be a doctor so he can take care of me when I'm old. Well, that's long-range thinking there, but I'm not sure. What if he doesn't want to be a doctor? You know, it's be great, but maybe there might be another reason for them to be a doctor other than just take care of you. Because he might become a successful doctor, move away and never talk to whatever. But anyway, all careers, all fields of activity whatsoever is very comprehensive. I mean, you couldn't be broader than that. Well, what if I want to be an astronaut? Or what if I want to go into this field or that field? As long as it's honorable and honest, this verse says whatsoever, just whatsoever. And I don't believe he's just restricting it to the songs you sing in church or the prayers you pray in your prayer time or the books of the Bible you read. I believe whatsoever is whatsoever. You might know this as whatever. All things. There are some restrictions, though. You say, oh, I knew there was a catch. I knew there was some fine print. You throw this whatsoever out there and there's a... But fine print. Whatever you do in word or deed, what you say or what you do with your hands, let's say, Some careers are more verbal. Some careers are more physical. Some are a combination of both. You know, some careers you do a lot of talking. And I won't say there's any career where you don't do some thinking. You think about things. But some careers are more about speaking. Some careers are more about doing things. And some are both. But he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all. You could link all back to whatever. Not just religious activities. Not just spiritual activities, although spiritual activities would touch every part of your life. But all things. This verse applies to people who are doctors or nurses or technicians or teachers or lawyers or do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This is the Christian's job description. Would that we could communicate this to young people. And by the way, as a Christian, you say, yeah, I was a plumber, and then I sold my business, so now my career's over. I'm retired now. All right, I get that. But you don't ever retire from being a Christian. You just don't. You might change where you live. You might change your daily schedule. You might, the whatsoever might be totally changed when you reach a certain period of time. But your job description never changes. That, there should be some comfort in that. You think, well, I don't know, what do I do when I retire? What do I do when I reach this age? What do I do when I can't do the field of business or work that I chose? What if that field closes down? What if those jobs go away or something? What do I do? Well, it won't affect your Christian job description. And as a fact, as a matter of fact, your Christian job description will become even more vital to you. Whatsoever and all, link those together, and let's see how this works out. Your job description, Christian, young or old, young people, middle-aged people, senior saints. What is our job description? Well, number one, we need to have authority to do what we're doing. We have to do everything we do in the authority. I think I've emphasized this recently, that when we pray in the name of Jesus, when we act in the name of Jesus, we're acting on His authority. Not only is the Great Commission given to us as Christians as far as our responsibility to the world, but actually everything we do, whatsoever we do, that includes college, marriage, career choices, buying, selling, owning, inventing, just you can make up your list of things that you can do, writing books, teaching school, even the arts, all those things, our authority for doing them must lie in the name of Jesus Christ. You must be able to say, and I know this sounds a little bit awkward, but when you do something, Christian, you must be able to say, at least in your heart, you don't have to say it out loud, but you have to say in your heart, I am doing this work under the authority of Jesus Christ. I am an architect in the name of Jesus Christ. You say, I don't know that. I don't think. You don't need Jesus' authority to be an architect. Oh, but a Christian does. You need the sanction, the blessing, the permission. You need to be able to say, why are you an architect? Well, here's my authority from Jesus to be an architect. You say, well, I've never said it that way. I've never thought about it that way. I know sometimes we just sort of take that for granted. I think we maybe should emphasize that more. When you make a career choice or take a job or have a business, what's your warrant for doing that? You say, well, I'm an American and I have the freedom to do this. I have the right to do this. But actually a Christian, of course you need those things and have those things, but a Christian's authority comes in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever, Paul says. He's not just talking about when you're at church or when you're doing church-like stuff or your religious commitments, whatever they, and they're good things, but he says whatsoever, whatever you do, all the things you do them in the authority of Jesus Christ. That right away presupposes that it's something Jesus would bless or approve or give you his permission to do it. Young people, when you ask, what should I be? Seek Jesus' authority about that. You say, how do I know that? I mean, he doesn't issue licenses or there's no certificates you get, you know, that float out of the sky from heaven saying, Lord, please send me my permission to be an architect. Should come in the mail any day. Doesn't work that way, does it? How do I know that I have the authority of Jesus Christ for my chosen field? Well, I think there are two primary witnesses. One is an external witness. There ought to be some people in whom you can trust and have confidence in to help you have peace that this is something God wants you to do. And then there's an internal witness a Christian has. I can't really paint a picture of it. I can't really, but it's a sense of, I believe this is what God wants me to do. If you chose a specific career. Now, sometimes it can be very simple. I'll give you a very simple illustration. Let's say you're a young person. Well, I need a job. I'd like to have a job. I'd like to earn some money. And you think, is that a good thing? Why, sure. Now, I think your parents or maybe your teachers could advise you about how to balance that with, say, school. Some of you are long out of school. Just bear with me a minute. There are some complications in your life, too. But a young person says, I want to get a job. Your parents and your teachers, the people who love you, the people who care about you, your Christian friends, your Sunday school teacher, your pastor, you could say, I want to get a job. Is that a good thing? All things being equal, I'd say, absolutely. I think a job can be a wonderful thing. What kind of job are you looking at? Well, I was looking at McDonald's. Okay. They're hiring. Seems like they're always hiring. You say, do I really need Jesus' permission to work at McDonald's? Yes, you do. Now, I think getting it, you have two tests. Do the people around me, do my parents, do the people that really care about me, are they saying, you know, I think that'd be good for you to try that. Why don't you try it? I mean, it's not like you're making a career choice there. Just looking for some hourly wages, soon to be $15, I think. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to get into the political side of things. When you ask people around you that really care about you, make sure they're people that really care about you. And then say, you know, I would like to make some money. I need to make some money. I have some things in my future I want to do. So when the inner witness, you have peace in your heart about it and people advise you about it, I believe you can take those as, it's certainly an honorable thing, certainly an honest thing. You may enjoy it, you may not enjoy it. You do need to show up and do it if you take the job. By the way, if you leave it, you need to give them notice if you're leaving, and be thoughtful and kind about that. But Yes, you actually need the authority of Jesus Christ to work at a gas station. Not that anybody works at a gas station anymore. Everybody pumps their own gas, right? I don't know there's probably a couple of stations around where, but I mean, that's one of the first jobs I ever had. People would sit in their cars. We would wash their windshields and all their windows, check the oil, put air in their tires. They would never get out of their car. And we would give them stamps and coins and cups just for stopping by. Thanks for stopping by. Of course, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon, so and then we would say, well, you know, if I could schedule something and you need work on your car or get scheduled after. But jobs, any jobs, need to have authority for it. You understand authority. You can't just walk behind the counter at McDonald's and say, they look like they're busy. I'm going back there and help them out. You can't just sneak under the counter and go through the employee entrance and say, I'm here to help you all today. I don't know what's going on, but I've seen you bag this stuff up. I mean, how tough could it be? We're frying hamburgers. I've watched enough at the counter. I think I understand the French fry machine. It looks a little dangerous, but how hard could it be? You can't just walk behind the counter and just say, oh, okay, now I'm going to work for McDonald's. You have to be hired. You have to be employed. You have to have their permission too. There is a spiritual dimension where you need Jesus' permission to do that as well. I just want us to get in the mode, and some of us older folk were thinking, yeah, well, I know what my job is. I know where I work, or I'm retired. But do you understand everything you do whatsoever, all is to be done in the authority of Jesus Christ? You say, well, how can I be sure? Well, the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask. Jesus, do I have your permission to do this? Do I have your authority to have this activity or these words in my life? You need authority in this Christian career. And you never get away from this. You never outlive this. You say, well, I'm done with my career as an architect, so I don't need Jesus' permission about my retirement. I don't need Jesus' authority for my hobbies. I don't need Jesus' authority for my recreation. The Bible says whatsoever. Whatever you do, you need Jesus' authority to do it. I don't want this in any way to take away from our understanding of, well, isn't a Christian called to be a part of the body of Christ and to be a witness for Christ? Absolutely. Part of submitting to the authority of Christ in your field or in your career would be deepened if you realize, oh, I'm only an architect if it pleases Christ. And by the way, as an architect, I also must be doing this to honor God. I must fit this into my responsibility as a Christian. It's part of it. You see, it's no more difficult for me to do what God wants me to do than it is for you to do what God wants you to do. Even though on the outside you say, well, you're a vocational minister, you stand up there and preach, and my job is totally different. Doesn't matter. You are a minister of Christ wherever you are. In that field, in that endeavor, you need the authority of Christ. It's in the name, he says, of Jesus. And number two, this may seem kind of obvious, there needs to be doing. Whatsoever ye do. And the tense here is present tense. It doesn't say be done. It says whatever you're doing. It's talking about ongoing activity. Maybe that's obvious, but he's not talking about just sporadic or you know, an occasional thing. He says, whatsoever you are doing in word or deed. So there is activity, talking, working with your hands, working with your mind, or both, and most jobs involve both. But you have this activity. There needs to be this doing. There really is no warrant in the Bible for doing nothing. You say, well, I'm thinking. I'm thinking of things. Well, you need to be, the ministry is, you need to be in word or deed. You need to be involved in activity that pleases God. Now, by the way, if your activity is restricted for reasons of economics or health, you don't have any control over that. If you can't do some things, God doesn't expect you to do those things. If you are not given the opportunity to do some things, why, God doesn't expect you to do those things. But for the most part, the Christian life is a life of activity. It's not a life of listlessness or directionless nothing. It's a very active life, the Christian life. And that's why you need to see every facet of your life. If you're a parent or a spouse or even a child, you have some specific duties in your relationships. It's not hard to list the responsibilities that husbands have to wives, or wives to husbands, or parents to children. But children, you know, you have responsibilities to your parents as well. There's honor, there's obedience. There's all kinds of activities involved in being somebody's child. So we have authority. It's in the name of Jesus. There is this ongoing activity. And then, number three, one of the chief characteristics of the Christian's career, this new career, remember I said new contacts, new clothes, new career. You have the authority to do whatsoever. You need to be doing it. One of the worst things a Christian could do would be to know that God's opened a door for you, or God has confirmed in your heart and in your counselor's heart, this is a good thing for you to do, and then for you to say, I don't want to do it. It's too hard. It's difficult. I don't like it. Well, now, be careful. Before you stop doing that, find out if your attitude is right. And he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Giving thanks for what? For whatsoever. For the all. For the activity. Even if it's hard. Even if it's difficult. Even if it's not as exactly what you expected it to be. He says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. By whom? By Christ. That means, literally, as you flip the hamburger, as you pull the fries out, as you complete the task, you draw the building, or you nail the thing together, you are giving thanks. Again, present tense. You are to be active, and you are to be giving thanks as you do it. And while you're doing it. You say, does it have to be verbal? That sounds embarrassing. Do I have to talk out loud? Every time I hit the nail with a hammer, do I have to say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to be a carpenter. Thank you for giving me a job. Thank you for letting me earn money. Thank you for letting me build this thing. No, I don't suppose you have to do it out loud. It wouldn't hurt if people around you heard it occasionally, though. It wouldn't hurt if they said, you know, that guy's weird. He's always thanking the Lord, thanking Jesus for this job he's got. I got to tell you, that will really be counterintuitive to a lot of people's attitude. I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but a lot of people go to their jobs and grumble. Oh, yes, yes, you sit there like you've never heard of this. You say, well, no one would ever grumble about their job or be mad at. Oh, and I'm not saying the job doesn't give you reason to grumble. I'm not that naive. Yeah, your job may give you reason. Your boss, well, don't get me started on your boss. Not, or your coworkers, or the traffic, or the weather. It might all be sort of not to your suiting, not to your liking. But Christians, whatsoever we do in word or deed, we do it in the authority of Jesus Christ and we give thanks to him for it. I don't mean to be pious about this, but you know the reason your heart's beating, right? Because God gives you life. You know the reason you have another breath? God gives it to you. So you could start just by thanking God for not only your daily bread, but your moment by moment breath. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my strength. Lord, thank you for this job. Lord, help me to learn what I need to learn here. And no, it's not wrong to say, Lord, as soon as possible, give me a different job. That's part of the whatsoever too. As long as you are doing honorably and honestly, there's nothing wrong with saying, like, you know, I think I'd like to be the foreman. I think I'd like to choose a different job. I think I'll go and for training and find a different job. Nothing wrong with that. But be sure while you're doing whatever you do, whatsoever you do, always be giving thanks. Is that characteristic of you? Do people say, you know, one thing about them, they always seem to be thankful. You get up and it's snowing and it's raining outside and maybe it looks a little cold and a little bit, oh, it's gray. And you think, do you ever say, as you drive to work, do you ever say, Lord, thank you for giving me a car so I can drive to work? It sure would be a lot more difficult if I had to walk to work. I read about the other day, and some people stepped up and helped this lady. Some lady was walking like 5 miles one way to her job. 5 miles. Didn't have a vehicle. No bus. No. She was walking 5 miles, and some people figured this out, and they said, we got to fix this. We got to do something. We got to help her. But can you imagine when you go to your job, just give, boy, kind of blurry, weary out, but sure, I'm glad I've got a vehicle to get me there. Giving thanks for the opportunity, giving thanks for the privilege, giving thanks. You know, one of the reasons we work is because we're image bearers of God. God gave us, before the fall, he gave Adam work to do. There was no thorns or thistles or sweat, that kind of thing, but there was work to do before the fall. But our attitude is to be thankful, giving thanks. This is also present tense. An attitude of thanksgiving. An attitude of giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Is that your attitude whatsoever you do? All things. By the way, this acts as a real governor on whether something's honorable or honest or in the will of God. You could see how quickly this could come to cross purposes if you say, well, I can't ask God to bless this, and I sure can't thank God for this. Lord, thank you for the night watchman not noticing as I break into the bank. Lord, thank you for giving me a good, strong crowbar to break open this person's. No. Does that sound right? That doesn't sound right, does it? Why, you can't give thanks for sinful, wicked, evil stuff. You can't give God thanks for bad things that you would be doing. You could ask God to forgive you for them and help you to stop. But you couldn't be doing them and saying, Lord, thank you for making me a thief. I'm really good at it, you know. No, that's not going to fit. You can only give thanks for honorable and honest, godly things. And by godly, I don't just mean religious vocations. I mean whatever you do, giving thanks. By the way, grown-ups, don't you love the way children see that in us and can model themselves after us and see the joy and the thanksgiving on your lips and say, man, they're always thanking God for their job and they always have a good attitude about it. If not always, most of the time. I guess that's the way grown-ups do it. On the contrary, I think our apologies, young people, because sometimes what you see is not giving thanks, you see grumbling. I got a summer job one time, Middle Kentucky River Development Council. I don't really know where the money came from, somewhere. And we were cleaning up schools and installing window panes and just general light maintenance. And I was thrilled to have it. I needed a job. I really needed a job that summer. I got it and I showed up and I was so happy about it. And maybe too eager. And the foreman, probably just a year or two older than I was, he said, number one, don't get too excited. We get paid whether we do anything or nothing. So we lean hard toward nothing. He wasn't kidding. His motto was, watch for the boss, the big boss. But you know, the big boss was not as dumb as they thought he was, because if he leaves you in 3 hours, comes back, and you've done nothing, you know what he knows? He knows you've done nothing. Isn't that a dead... I was no genius, but I'm thinking, if we haven't done another window in the 3 hours he's been gone, is he not going to notice that? If we're still piddling around, you know, chiseling out the old glazing of that, if we're still halfway done through the same window, he comes back, is he not going to be able to look at his watch and say, that should have taken maybe half an hour, and now, guess what? The big boss didn't know how to tell time. He fired that guy. Hired another guy. I won't say his attitude was a whole lot better, but at least he understood that when the boss comes back, he needs to see something got done. So we did put in some windows. And we did replace some pipe. Learning how to install that pipe. I found it all kind of interesting. But I also realized the better your attitude, the faster the day went, the more enjoyable it was. But all the testimony we give when we're always grumbling, we're always complaining. Everyone in every field has to be warned about this. Preachers, missionaries, Christian workers, they also are vulnerable to this. You wouldn't think Christians would ever grumble about their ministry or their task or their responsibilities, but they do. Should they? No, they should not. We should be doing everything whatsoever, all things in the name of Jesus Christ. We should be busy doing it. We should be faithfully doing it and giving thanks. Giving thanks for whatever, all things. That's our career. You see the advantages of that? Knowing that what you do in the authority of Jesus Christ, and constantly, continually giving thanks to Him. for the ability to do it, for the opportunity to do it. It is so counterculture to especially American attitude sometimes. You're going to stick out prominently if you have a good attitude. If you have a mission, if you know you're doing this to the glory of God, and maybe somebody's told you, like, whatever you do, matter of fact, the Bible says this, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Whatever you do, and you think, how's that work? Well, it would begin, I think, by remembering you're doing what you do in the name of Jesus Christ. You're under his authority. You're his follower. You're his disciple. You're a citizen in the heavenly kingdom. You're actually on a colony of heaven working in this world. Just passing through, but you are working. You are occupying till Jesus comes. You need the authority in the name of Jesus. You need to be busy doing, and you need to be giving thanks. In the next paragraph, he's going to be dealing with some very specific relationships. So this isn't just true of work outside the home. This is true of family relationships. This is true of personal relationships. This is true of ministry. This is true of every aspect of your life. You see how comprehensive it is? You see how all the whatsoever fits into this? Whatever I do in the authority of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if I'm in a vocation that you recognize, or a ministry, or a business. I'm doing it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Busy giving thanks. Let's bow our heads. Beloved, at the heart of this is the core of how we have peace. We know we have grace from God, but at the core of this, how do you have peace here in my life, in my ministry, my vocation, my everyday life? How do I have peace about that? There's so many obstacles, so many hindrances, so many discouragements. Well, number one, make sure you got the right authority. Make sure you're where God wants you to be. Make sure you're working in the name of Jesus Christ. Be busy doing it, word or deed. And have the right attitude, giving thanks. Father, I pray you bless this message to my heart. Oh, how often I fall short even of these things. How easy it is to lose sight of the authority under which we must operate, not only day by day, but breath by breath, heartbeat by heartbeat, in the authority of Jesus Christ, doing whatever you give us to do. Father, it could be anything honest and honorable. It could be any profession, any ministry, any job that you give us to do. It could be temporary. It could be for a few days. It could be for a lifetime. Whatever we do in the name of Jesus Christ and give thanks. Doing and giving thanks. Giving thanks and doing. Working and giving thanks. Living the Christian life and giving thanks. Enduring the difficulties and giving thanks. Pressing on in trouble and trial, giving thanks. Help us to be known as thankful people. Grateful people. Grace should make us grateful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.